Good morning. We've been going through the exceptions to the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, when a person is not mechuyev to return an object. We ended off last week discussing a particular case. A person is walking down the street. He sees there's a fire raging in a house, and he notices that trapped upstairs there are two young children. The parents are outside, hysterical, but everyone's afraid to go in because of the fire. So you being the hero, you plunge right in through the smoke, through the fire, through the flames. You make your way up to the second floor, you grab the children. And as you're making way out, you notice the silver sitting there on the table. So on your way out, you scoop up the silver and you go outside. The parents are overjoyed to see their children, to see their silver. And you tell them, listen, children, you can take, but the silver I'm going to keep. So he mentioned last week, there's a concept of zutu shel yom. If you have an item which is either it's sinking in the ocean, it's something which is avuda mimenu mikol adam, it is lost from everyone, no, there's no one who's in a position to save it. The halacha is, it becomes like hefker, and you're allowed to keep it. And therefore, l'chayra in such a case, if the silver had been was accessible to everyone, where anyone could save it, so there the halacha is, there's a chiyuv hashavas aveda, you would have an obligation to go rescue it. However, in a case where to rescue the silver you have to put yourself in danger, a person has no obligation to put himself in danger to rescue someone else's money. It's probably usur in most cases. So there, where there's no chiyuv hashava, where there's no one there who's going to save it, it is zutu shel yom. And the halacha should be is that it should be like hefker. Now there are a few. This halacha is not so simple for a number of reasons. Now the truth is, we should add: what if the person who owned the house had insurance? Now they had fire insurance; they did not have theft insurance. So it'll come out if you would leave the silver there, it would get burnt. So they'd put in a claim for the insurance company, and they'd get reimbursed. Now that you walked off with the silver, you stole it, as far as they're concerned. In theft, he has no coverage for. So now it'll come out, because you took the silver, he is going. The owner will not get reimbursed. Now, avo pikein, if the halacha is, it's hefker. If something is hefker, the fact that there's a particular person who will benefit from you leaving it there, or allowing him to be zeichen for hefker, is not your problem. If it's hefker, if it's ownerless, l'chayra, you have every right to take it, and whether or not he would be reimbursed by the insurance should not be your concern.
Is the insurance, is the silver hefker, or is it owned by the insurance?
Definitely not owned by the insurance company. It's owned by the owner. When after it gets destroyed, when they pay for it, then we can talk about it. But it's, normally they're paying for it when it's destroyed. It's gone. When it's gone, there's nothing here to be owned. So now over here, there are a few nakudas that we have to deal with before we get to the halacha l'maisa. The first is, we mentioned last week, Gemara, one person had his barrel of wine, the other had the barrel of honey. The honey sprung a leak. It fell with the wine, poured out the wine, and rescued the honey. So the Gemara over there asked that l'chayr, the person who poured out the wine, who rescued the honey, should be able to keep it. It is zutu shel yom. Since it's leaking, there's no one around to save it. It should be like hefker. So the Gemara gives an answer, kishu akol beis avad karach alav. There's an halachos rishayim how to understand Gemara's answer. Rashi learns kipshutai that although there was a leak, it was a slow leak, and therefore the owner still had the opportunity to rescue the honey before it got destroyed. Because he was able to save it, it is not kizutu shel yom, it is not hefker, and therefore anyone who saves it, anyone who catches it, would have to give it back to the owner. And that's Rashi's pshat. The Rambam, according to the Magen Mishnah, learns a tremendous chiddush in this Gemara. He learns that no, once the barrel cracked, there is no question about it. This honey is going to get destroyed. It will be lost. There is no one here that can save it. However, zok the Rambam, the case is, although it cracked, right now the honey is still in the barrel. Zok the Rambam, this halacha of hefker is kizutu shel yom. You have something that sits, it's washed out to the sea. Right now, it's lost. It's in the middle of the ocean. It's on the bottom of the ocean. Something which is lost, something which is irretrievable, that becomes hefker. However, If you have the same case, you have an item, there's a tidal wave coming towards it. You know in a minute or two it'll be gone and there's no way to save it. But Zok the Rambam, if right now it's not avod, right now it's sitting there, it's Rishus the Bailam, they have access to it, they can do it. Right now nothing happened to it. The fact that you know it will become avod shortly does not give it a din of hefker. And therefore, Zok the Rambam, even if the barrel cracked, you know it will the honey will shortly be on the ground. But until that happens, until it actually falls, it does not have a din of hefker, and the owner still belongs to the owner. Adrabah, the Magmishna says that the ikr is like Rashi. It's very big chiddush, because if parsha pshat you learn, once it's in a situation where it can't be saved, it's like hefker, just like a person's miyayish. Anytime you lose something, if you give up, but it's certain. If it's a suffik, then you're right. Not only is it not hefker, then everyone who could save it has a chiyav hashavas veiz to help guard it. But when it's certain, there's no. It's just a question of time. L'chora, you can argue this is as good as lost. Although this is the Shitas Rambam, the Magen Mishnah, the Chazanish, the Nesivos all argue, and they say the Ikra is like Rashi. And if right now it's in a situation where it's clear it will be destroyed, it will have a din of hefker. Now, although in this sugya everyone seems to pass like Rashi, the Chazam Sefer points out in the other case we discussed last week. If you have a caravan traveling through the desert and a bunch of bandits capture the caravan and they plunder all the goods, so the Chasam Sefer is Medayik, it's Machlokes Rishayim, and what the case is. If they've already captured the goods, now the bandits have it, there's no way to get it back, that's certainly Kizuta Shalyam. But the Chasam Sefer is Medayik in some Rishayim that what happens if they didn't capture it yet? But they have the caravan surrounded, the caravan is unarmed, there's no question about it. There's no defense. It's clear that the bandits will capture it. So the Chasam Sefer says, that's Machlokes. He says, according to some Rishonim, that since right now they haven't taken it away, it does not have a din of hefker yet. L'chora, this is the same Shailov between this Machlokes Rambam and Rashi. So it comes out, according to some Shitas, the thing actually has to be Nevad. The fact that it will be Nevad soon is not enough. Now, if that's the case, Yesh Lodayim, whenever you're dealing with a fire, if the silver is burning, then certainly it's Nevad, and it'll be Hefker Lekulayam. However, if the fire has not yet reached that area, the fact that it probably will, and no one has the time to rescue it, Yesh Lodayim in each case, whether this thing is actually Nevad or just something that will be Nevad shortly. And therefore, according to at least some Shitas, if the fire is not Mamish there, perhaps it does not have a din of zuta shoyam. Good. So if it's already surrounded by fire, in all likelihood, that's the same thing as something which is in the ocean. However, if there's a fire, the Chasam Sefer has another case where there's a fire in the city. It's a huge fire, and it's spreading rapidly. So what they did is the fires used to spread from roof to roof. The roofs were made out of the straw, very piled up, very high, very flammable, and all it will take is one spark to go from one house to the next. So in order to save the rest of the city, they destroyed some of the roofs surrounding the line of fire. The homeowners then went to the firemen, or the people who destroyed the roof, and said, pay me. You were mazik my house. You did it to save your house. But you had no right to destroy my house to save your house. Their response was, no. It's true. Normally, I can't be mazik you to save myself. But your house would have been destroyed anyway. There was a huge fire. If your roof was still there, it would have certainly been burned down, and therefore it's Kizuta Shalyam. It had a din of hefker, and we had the right to destroy your house with potter. So if the other Chasam Sefer says you're going to be chayiv, he says since the fire didn't reach it yet, and there's always this possibility that maybe it won't reach it, maybe something will happen, he says maybe a nace will happen, he says especially if it's next door to the shul, so he's mitzadeh that you're going to be chayiv. So good, you have to deal each case how extreme doesn't have to be. The Chasam Sefer basically says you can be samech on a nace. Anytime there's any possibility it won't get lost, it's not zuta shel yam. Marik and others have a little bit. What? Correct. The Chasam Sefer, you can't take it literally that you need mamash a nace, because then there's no such thing. Zuta shel yam, also a nace could happen. But the Chasam Sefer is saying, even though fires probably would have spread, it's not muchach, and therefore it's not zuta shel yam. Marik says clearly, it doesn't have to be muchach. As long as this is the norm, a normal person who looked at it would say, this is hopeless, this is not going to happen. The fact that there are some far out cases could happen where we'll get saved, that does not stop it from being Zudir Shalyam. Yeah, if the wind could shift, then it's not hopeless. Then it's a question, you know, it may, if you don't know whether it will get burnt or not, that's fine. But in a situation where it takes some extremely unlikely situation, where anyone who looks at the situation would say it's hopeless. They wouldn't say, well, if the wind continues, it's hopeless. But if the wind shifts, it's fine. So in that case, it would be Zudir Shalyam.
So, firefighters and
correct. This is a question of Metzius. If this fire is something that could be put out, it's not. The situation is not hopeless. It is not Zuta Shalyam. If your cargo is valuable enough, where it will be worthwhile to get hire a submarine and explorers and divers and find it. If the Metzius is it is not irretrievable. It will not become hefker. So anyway, so based on this, so the first nekuda you have to deal with is that in the case of the fire, if the fire has not actually reached it, we have this machlokes, whether Zuta Shalyam is the fact that it will eventually get destroyed, or it has to be the destruction had to have started already. But now there's a second nekuda. We've mentioned before, the Gemara has a sugya of mana tefira tavar, that if an item gets thrown off a roof, someone else comes along, he sees the item falling, he's holding a bat, figures he'll have some practice. And as the thing comes, he smashes it on its way down. So the Gemara has a shiloh, is this second person responsible or not? On one hand, he is the one that smashed the item. He should pay the owner. On the other hand, the Gemara says, perhaps mona tzvira tavar. Since it was already hurtling down towards the ground, there's no question in another second it would have been destroyed anyway. So this second person broke something that was already as good as broken, mona tzvira tavar, and he's going to be potter. Now, l'chayru, we have a tremendous kash on this Gemara. What's the shayla? Manitvira tavar is a lom de shayla. Is it like it's broken or is it not like it's broken? L'chayru, we have our whole sugya of Zuta Shalyam. Anytime something is clearly going to be destroyed, it becomes hefker. This second person is being mazagei davar shel hefker, and therefore he certainly shouldn't have no responsibility.
What's the case where someone would be dying, throw it down the road?
Someone did throw it. Oh, very good, very good. So there are two terutzim in the Achrayim. The Brisker Rav says like this. The Brisker Rav says, what's the pshat in Zuta Shalyam? When this thing is sinking in the ocean, or it was washed out to sea, it's gone. You've lost it. You're never going to see it again. There's yish, not yish, but it's gone. At that point, it's hefker. Anyone who retrieves it can keep it. Zok the Brisker Rav, that's only when the item is completely gone. When you throw a kli off the roof, it's true it's going to break. But especially if you're dealing with a valuable item, you threw a kiddush cup off the roof, a menorah off the roof, it may get smashed up, but the pieces will still belong to you. So although you're certainly going to suffer a loss, the owner will still have the remains of this kli, whatever the scrap value of this metal, of this silver is, and therefore it's not gone from him. It's true he will not have it in its original state, but he still has a benefit. He still will own the pieces. He'll pick it up and he'll try to put it back together again or sell it for scrap. So in such a case where he still has some amount of ownership or he hasn't given up on it completely, Zok the Brisker Rav, this halacha will not apply.
Even though when he breaks it, it's not going to be the same, should be clearly, right? It's not going to be worse. You're saying it's
going to
fall.
No. So we're just dealing with this one point. Why you do not say that a kli that's hurtling towards the ground is hefker like Zuta Shalyam? And to that, the answer is Zuta Shalyam, the whole kli is gone. Here, you're going to keep the remains. You still have value. It has some value to the owner, and therefore it remains his. Now, Imkan would come out that we'd have to look at how big this fire is. If the fire is just going to melt it down, but you still will have a couple of ounces of silver. So then this Brisker Rav's teretz would apply, and it would not be Zuta Shalyam. Although it will lose value, since the owner will still have something, it's not hefker, and anyone who takes it would have to return the entire item. On the other hand, if it's going to be burned to a crisp, there'll be nothing left, it'll be totally valueless, there this would not be Negeya, and there it still would be hefker. This is the Brisker Rav's teretz. The Chazon Ish has another pshat. I think this is what you were alluding to. And the Chazon Ish says is like this. Why is some Zuta Shalyam become hefker? He says because it's lost to the Bailam. It's gone, it's physically gone, it's washed out to sea, he has nothing from it. If a bardas goes ahead and throws it off the roof, it's true this kli in a second from now will be smashed, it'll be useless. But the owner still has a lot, although the physical item will be smashed, the owner, the bailus, still is very meaningful. Because if it hits the ground and smashes, the person who threw the kli is going to be responsible. So although the physical kli is going to be lost, the damim of the kli, the value of the kli, is still retained by the owner. And therefore, if someone else comes and smashes it, there, this malkin of machayev him, it does not have a din of hefker.
Well,
if the owner threw off, that we discussed last week, that will have an issue of an aved midas. That if you threw off and you're going to break it, that's another kash, that's the Rosh's kasha on Rashi. That's why the Rosh says that someone else must have thrown it off. That's a separate sugya. But as far as this issue, the fact that it's kehefker, because it certainly will be smashed, that the Chazon Ish says, since the owner still will get paid for it when it breaks, he still has a schosim in the chefetz, therefore it does not have a din of hefker. But based on this, the Chazon Ish says, what happens if a shaita threw the kli off the roof, or a katan threw it off? The katan is not responsible for what happened. There's no chiyuv, and in that case, Zok the Chazon Ish, if someone else comes and smashes it, it certainly would be patur, because it's a davar shel hefker, it's zuta shel yam, and he would not be chayiv.
I mean, it's the mazik, not to the nizik.
But it's not the mazik is not chayiv yet. It hasn't hit the ground yet. Nothing happened. But heyois, there is someone who is responsible for this domain, and the owner, although he may never be able to use the kli again, he owns it, and he will be compensated because for the person who was mazik it. Therefore, it's not kehefker, it does not become kezuta shel yam. Now, based on this, yesh lo din, let's go back to our case. You have the silver. There's a fire, and let's assume the fire is mamash on it, it's kezuta shel yam. So according to the Brisker Rav, we said it'll depend on what kind of damage the fire will cause. If there'll be something left over, then it's not kezuta shel yam. If it'll be completely destroyed, it'll be like hefker. According to the Chazon Ish, what we're looking at is another issue. Is there someone who's responsible for the damage? So if there's an arsonist who lit the fire in a case where he's responsible to pay for the silver, then certainly by taking it away, that's Mamash Chazon Ish's case, and there it would not be kezuta shel yam. What happens if the fire was accidental, but you have insurance? Insurance will cover you for the loss of this silver. So you can say this is doyim to the Chazon Ish, that even though the owner will never have the use of this silver, since he has the right to be compensated, to be paid by the insurance company for its value, that is similar to a case where there's a mazik who's going to have to pay for throwing it off the roof. And therefore, perhaps, according to the Chazon Ish, it would not have a din of zuta shel yam. Now, it would come out then that when you're running into the house and rescuing the children, if you want to grab the silver, you have to find out whether this person has insurance. If he has insurance, then you can just leave it there because you're not going to be able to keep it because it's not over to be met. If he doesn't have insurance, then you can take it because at that point, it's zuta shel yam. The owner has nothing left in it. He will not be compensated, and therefore it should be hefker. Now, there is malkum to be mechalik. In the Chazon Ish's case, a mazik pays for the demei hachefetz. Insurance is not really the demei hachefetz. Insurance is this outside deal that you a contract that you have with a third party that if your thing gets lost, then they will pay you. So yesh lodin whether this is enough to stop a zuta shel yam, yesh lodin whether it's a schos in the chefetz or just this outside gamble or deal that you have. So yesh lodin. But I'll call upon him this malkum in svara to say that the Chazon Ish would apply and it would not have a din of zuta shel yam. Good. That's not a gear ganav. That's not a gear hilchos mazik. But if you walk away with what? No. When you walk away, marit that sugya is ultimate. Right. That's not. That sugya is not coming again.
According to this rav, even in the case of zuta shel yam, at the end of the day, the fact that somebody did find it obviously still has value to it. Somebody found it, is using it now.
Oh, very good. So the case, like this, every case of zuta shel yam, we have this question: if it has to be mamash destroyed, then how did you find it? So the answer is that at one point it was lost. It was buried. It sunk in the ocean. 20 years later, they invented a submarine, and now they have the technology to get it, and they recover it. But since at one point it was avod mimenu mikol adam, when it sunk, there was no way to retrieve it. That becomes hefker, and therefore, even though later something changed, once it's hefker, it's hefker. And the same thing would be true. If it gets washed out to the sea, where al-piderach ha-teva, you're never going to see it again. And then by some, you know, nace or something unusual happened, there was another storm and it spit it up. Still, even though right now it's back on the back on dry land, since at one point it was avod mimenu mikol adam, it becomes hefker. And once it's hefker, even though things change later, whoever gets it will keep it.
I'm just a little confused about it. The case with that through them, saying if there's insurance, then if another guy breaks it, he is chayav.
Okay, the Gemara there discusses whether you say mona tefira tavar is chayiv, not chayiv. That's the Gemara's discussion. We're focused on one small point, and that is the halacha of zuta shel yom of avad min makal adam is when something is certainly going to get lost, there's no way to save it, it becomes hefker. That Gemara is clear. It's clear that it's not hefker, because the Gemara is discussing whether the second person has to pay or doesn't have to pay. So the question is, why is it not hefker? Because in a second from now, it will be smashed. And that we have two answers. Either because although the kli will smash, the shvarim will still have value, and therefore it doesn't become hefker. And the second answer is that although it will break, because there is a person who threw it off the roof, there's a bardas who is going to be responsible for that damage, therefore the owner still has a real interest, a real ownership in this item, and therefore it will not be hefker. Once it's not hefker, now they're going to want to know whether the second person is responsible, the first person is responsible. That's the sugya in Bava Kamma. Okay, so this is the sugya of avudu mimenu kol adam. Whenever something is irretrievably lost, it becomes hefker. If at some point someone else finds it, the halacha is whoever finds it has the right to keep it. The next example of an item where you're not responsible with no chiyuv hashava is zakein ve'einu lefi kvoido. A person is walking down the street. He sees there's a sheep wandering around. It has a siman. He knows it belongs to a yid. He may even know whose it is. But he is a very well-respected fellow. He's a Talmud Chacham. And for him to march through town holding a sheep or leading it is a bezayin. It's beneath his dignity. He is a zokim v'en l'fi kvoidoi. So here the Gemara has a drasha of v'salamta, pavim shatim esalem, that there is no chiyuv to be meshav aveda. Now there is a discussion, there is a machlokes rishayim. Some Rishayim, there's a Ritva that says this applies only to a Talmud Chacham. Because of his Kavod HaTorah, we do not have the Mitzvah Hashavas Aveda does not apply b'makom it'll be a zilzlin in Kavod HaTorah. But another person, if he's just a politician or just a wealthy person, there the Ritva says this halacha will not apply. However, Rav Rishayim and most of the Paiskim, the Stimas of Shulchan Aruch, seem to be not like this, and they learn that it's across the board. Any Zakein, any Ish Mechuvid, anyone who this is beneath his dignity has no chiyuv hashava saveda. Now the general rule is that the litmus test, whether you are a zakein ve'en lefi kvoidoi, whether this is beneath your dignity or not, whether this is an exemption of hashava saveda, is you have to ask yourself, would you return it if it was yours? If you would, then obviously the amount of money involved, the Hashavas Aveda, your dignity is not worth that much to you. And in that case, you would have a chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. You'd have to go return it for someone else. However, if you would not, even if the sheep was yours, because of the bazillion, because of the fact that it's beneath your dignity, you'd rather it get lost than to have to parade through the streets holding it, then the halacha is you would have no chiyuv to do it for somebody else. Now the Drisha does make an interesting point. He says the concept of zakein ve'en lefi kvoido. He says it's one thing to say that it's not limited to a Talmud Chacham. Any yesh mechubed, you have an askin, you have a politician, you have a wealthy person who is a respected person. So if by him carrying it, people will look down on him, they see him walking through the streets carrying the sheep, they'll look down on him, it's ein lefi kvoido, there's no chiyuv hashavas aveda. Zok the Drisha, if this person is really not an yesh mechubed, but he's a baal gaiva, in his mind, he feels that he is a azach. This is beneath my dignity. Azach chosh of a mensch like me, and therefore he doesn't want to return it. Zok the Drisha, there's no such p'tur. It's only when your kavod is real. This is really beneath your dignity. In other words, when other people will see you, people who know you, they'll say, you know, what's this person carrying? Going through the streets carrying the sheep. But if to everyone else this makes perfect sense, you just have your ego problems, you're a baal gaiva, there he says this p'tur of zakein ve'en lefi kvoidoi will not apply. Now, of course, this is very difficult in practical sense. How do you ever know whether you're just a Baal Gaiva or whether it's truly a Zakan the Anuthik Vaidar? So you could go ahead, when you find something, take a poll, call your friends and say, if you saw me walking through a street with a sheep. But the reality is, I think this is just another very good reason to learn Musar. Because it's, you know, solve the problem today, know where you stand in life, and that way you'll have a more clear idea whether it's a Lefik Vaidar or not Lefik Vaidar. What? So still, he says, this is not an across-the-board halacha. Let's say you find something which is worth a pruta. Now, for you, the amount of time it'll take you to return this, it's not worth, just not worth it. You'd rather go home and relax. The pruta is not worth that much to you. You'd rather just leave it. So there the Paiskim say, there's no such hatter. The pshat is not that whatever you won't do for yourself, you don't have to do for someone else. The litmus test is, how do you know whether it's lefi kvoidai or not? If you're doing it for yourself, it's obviously lefi kvoidai. If you won't do it for yourself, because of your kavod, so then it's beneath your dignity, and then there's no chi of hashavas aveda because of this special pasuk. This is a special din of Hashavas Aveda. There's a special pasuk of this halamta. It's by pre-kantina as well, but it's a very limited halacha. There is a concept of galo kavod abriya shadoichol loisus ein shabbat Torah, but that's a limited. And Rashi actually says the makar is from this halacha, but it's a very limited. Typically, when there's a mitzvah, especially when you're doing something, you're not doichol loisus ein so quickly. Good. So that would really go into another issue. What happens if you find the Gemara deals with if you find it in the field? Now walking through the field is lefi kvoitcha, but once you get to the city, that step will not be lefi kvoitcha, and that's a machlokes in the shaila and the Gemara. What you do then? Because part of it yes, part of it no. And once you do the first part, then you're neschayiv. You become a shamer. You're shtickle stuck with it. But if you have an eitzah, you can put it in and then just. You don't have to walk. If you can return it without walking through the streets, you can just take it and bring your house and have another way to return it. Then it's not a steer to your cover.
Why would you apply the concept of Bali's fight and others on our legal department the kindness is to say of Hashavas Aveda?
Very good. Very good. And the answer is that there's a specific drusha over here. It's not, if without the pasuk, we probably would say there's a chiyuv to do it. The fact that you're embarrassed would not be a p'tur and a mitzvah saseh and a chiyuv lo saseh. But there's a specific pasuk. What the Bnei Yeshua says is that he says really the other way, it really starts the other way. Because it's davar sheva mamon, the person whose money is should be a mevater on his money to save your dignity. And therefore, the Torah is saying when it's your kavod's on the line, then we're not going to be mechayvi to give up your kavod to save his dignity, just like you don't have to have a hefsin mamon to save his mamon. So you clearly don't apply the regular rules of a lois save and vaseh because it's a davar sheva mamon, it involves someone else's money, and it's not the regular chiyuvim of an adam l'makot. Okay, so this is the rule of zakan v'ein lefi kvoidai. If it's beneath your dignity, if it's a bezayin, you would not return it for yourself. Then the halacha is you do not have to return it for another person. The chiyuv hashavas aveda does not apply. The next exception to the chiyuv hashavas aveda is probably the most important and the most discussed, and that is the concept of yish. If a person loses an item, and he gives up hope of ever finding it again. He says, Vayli al chisarin kis. That's it. The money is gone. He'll never see it again. At that point, the halacha is, it is similar to hefker. And if you find it, you have absolutely no obligation to return it. At least mikra din. Again, we'll see. Lifnim ashur din, there will be. But al pi din, it's yours. You're walking with your friend. He loses something. So you spend a few minutes looking around, trying to find the item. At some point he says, listen, that's it. We're not going to find it. It's getting dark. Let's just go home. Forget about it. If a minute later, as you're leaving, you notice the item and you pick it up, the halacha is you can keep it. Because it's an aveda. He lost it. He gave up hope. He said, vayli achasaron kis. He said, that's it. We're not going to find it. Let's just go home. Forget about it. At that point where there's yish, and aveda with yish, the halacha is if you find it, you pick it up first. You can keep it. Now, in a similar case, if you're looking around, you know it's getting late, you see your friend is getting a little bit impatient. Now, you notice the item on the corner, but you keep quiet. And sure enough, a minute or two later, he says, that's it, we can't find it, forget about it, let's just go home. The halacha is, if you pick it up at that point, it's yours. He was a miyayish, it's an aveda, you can keep it. However, you're going to be over a lav of l'suchul l'salim. Because you waited, because you saw the lost item, and you saw it before he was miyayish, at that point you had a chiv of l'suchul l'salim to pick it up and return it to him. If you didn't, if you just ignored it, you looked away, you pretended you didn't see anything, so although after the fact, once he's miyayish, and if you pick it up, then it'll be yours, because it's like hefker. But the lav of l'suchul l'salim, you're right. Now, Yiyush, there's one of the great questions in Eilu Metzias, and we'll see there are many nafkaminas in halacha. But one of the big questions is, what exactly is Yiyush? We all know there's a concept of a kinyan. If I want to sell something or give it to you, so I give it to you as a present, you do a mashicha, you do a hagbah, you do a maisa kinyan, and at that point it becomes yours. I am a makne to you, you're kinyan it, fairly straightforward. There's also a concept of hefker. A person has the right to give up his ownership of something. If he is mafkarit, he says, I raise a hefker. At that point, although it doesn't become anybody's, he's not giving it to anybody, but he has actively, he's given it away from, he gave up his ownership in the item, and if anyone else comes along, picks it up, it's hefker, and he will be the owner. What happens by yish? If you think about it, yish, when a person is mafkar something, his goal is he doesn't want it any longer. He wants to give it away. And he says, I raised that hefker. I am making this hefker. Whoever wants to take it can take it. There, it's your action, and that's your ratzon. Your intent is to make it hefker. You want other people to be able to take it, and that's what you've done. Yiyush is very different. Yiyush, when a person, all the person is doing is saying, Vayli achasarim kis. It's nothing more than the recognition, you'll probably never see this item again. But al pi halacha, if something is lost, and you've given up hope, at that point it becomes mutter for someone else to take it. But it's very different than a kinyan. You're not out. You may not even know this halacha. You're not trying to give it to other people. You didn't decide you don't want it any longer. You're just acknowledging the fact that I will probably never see the item again, and that is enough to make it mutter for other people to take. Good. So now because of this, because yish, the action that you're doing is certainly very different than hefker. But now there's a tremendous discussion among the poskim and among the achrayim and the gedolei Rashi Yeshiva exactly how does yish work. Rashi very often says hefker. Now, as everyone Tosis points out, and all the rishonim point out, it can't be regular hefker. You don't say I raise that hefker. You may not even know when you give up on something that it becomes hefker. So when Rashi's point of hefker is describing the outcome that after a person is miyayish, the halacha is it becomes like hefker. Many achrayim argue, and again, you can in rishonim. It depends on how you learn different sugyos. What many say is that it's not a kinyan, it's not a hakna. You were never mafker it. They say that no, really, the item still belongs to you. In the absence of a kinyan, nothing took it away. Just the halacha is when you have an aveda and your owner gave up on it, he already gave up on ever seeing it. Now anyone has the right to come. Anyone else can come along and pick it up, and they can be zeichen. Bog zok the nesivus, the ktsayis, and others. Until someone makes a kinyan, the Yeshiva says, it's still yours. In other words, when you're mafker, you say, I raise a hefker. The moment you're mafker, it's not yours anymore. If you change your mind, you want it back, so go ahead, grab it, make a kinyan. But you need a new kinyan because it's no longer yours. Yiyush, which is nothing more than a recognition that you'll never see it again, there's a new din. There's a gedera sakosiv. It's learned out of either from Simla or from Zuta Shoyam. It's a new din. When there's an aved and there's yiyush, anyone can take it. But until they take it, it's very possible it belongs to you. Now, there's a tremendous nafkamina. What happens? Let's go back to our case before. You're working with your friend. He loses an item. He spends a few minutes looking around for it. Finally, he gives up. He says, forget it. I'll never see it again. Let's go home. As you're walking, this time he notices the item. So he taps you. He says, oh, Baruch Hashem, I found the item. It's right over there. You say, oh, Baruch Hashem. You bend down. You pick it up. Can you keep the item? Now, there certainly was yish at some point. Had this been like hefker, if you were mafker an item, you change your mind later, it's too late, it's not yours anymore. Havizak the Nesivas in this case is different. Yiyush doesn't make it hefker according to the Nesivas. Yiyush just means that if it's lost, you were miyayish, anyone can go ahead and take it. But if you're chayzer from the Yiyush, now you see it, the owner sees it, he's no longer miyayish, he says, Baruch Hashem, I found it. So Zak the Nesivas, at that point, no, the Yiyush is over. It always belonged to you. This right that a person had to be koine it dissipates, and therefore, according to the Nesivas, no one has the right to take it. And if you even if you pick it up first, you'd have to return it to the owner.
What's the
mechanics of that? Oh, according to the Nesivas, Yish doesn't mean it's not yours. Yish just makes that there's no Isser Gezela. There's no Isser for someone to go ahead and to make a kini to take it for himself. It's similar to just a Rishus to be Zoich in it. So therefore, the moment you take away the Yish, according to the Nesivas, so it reverts, it was always yours. You don't need a new kinyan. What happens if a person's chayzer from Yish? If you hold the tefker, so even if you're no longer miyayish, you need a new kinyan to make it yours. If you hold that it was always yours, it's just a tayr was matter, someone to go ahead and make a kinyan. So once you're chayzer, so that rishus goes away, it's going to revert back to the owner. Now again, there's a Trumas Akri that says, like the Nesivas, that it's always yours, but he says, once the din yish is chal, you can't be chayzer from it. So you have, there are many different shitas and many different ways of understanding it, but according to the Nesivas, his basic point is that it's always yours, it's just the right for someone to be zayich in it when there's yish, and therefore if you chayzer from the yish, number one, you don't need a new kinyan, and it therefore will just revert back to the original owner. That is the pasuk. Yish is learned is a chiddush. It's learned out from the pasuk. Machloek is either way. It's learned out either from the din of zutah shel yom, asher tovim menu, or whether it's learned out from maasim yuchedesh yesh l'siman of yesh l'tovim. But what the pasuk is telling you is the moment the owner gave up for an aveda, then he's it's a chisaron in his bailus. It's an aveda. It's yish, and anyone has the right to take it. And the moment he takes it, it becomes his. Well, by definition, it got there against his will. So it's, a bar is any also. If
he dropped it, he didn't know where it was.
Okay, Mafkar and Zalk, Mafkar and Zalk, that's a shy way to learn out of Shar or Bar. That's a like Rav and Shmuel over there. But the point of the Nesivas is Yish, this is, again, you're talking about Hefker. When you're mafkir, Yish, the point of the Nesivas is it's still yours, it's just a Rishus V'Zaycha. Others learn it more, others learn once is Yish, the Torah made it Hefker, and it's considered ownerless. Now, an important, probably the most important limitation of Yish is that we all remember from the Sugi, from the Sugi Neil Matias, the Machlok is Rav and Abai, Yish Le Midas, Havi Yish, Aloy Havi Yish. We pass in Loy Havi Yish, which means that the whole halacha is only when the time you find the item, when you pick it up, the owner already gave up hope. Since he was Mayayish, when you pick it up, it becomes yours. However, if you find an item, you pick it up, you're Nestrayiv Bahashava, you become a Shamer, whatever the Lumdus is, at that point, if after you already have it, the owner is Mayayish, that does not help, and you still would have a Chiyuv Hashava. Now we'll discuss next week, we'll go through more of the Pratim, but what will come out is, the only time you can take advantage of this Heter of Yish is if you find something which has clearly been there for a long time. You're walking through the forest, you find something, it's sitting there, it's all rusty. Clearly it was there for a long time, it was there for a year. It was long enough time that it's obvious the owner gave up hope, because even though it has a siman, once he hasn't seen it in a year, he doesn't expect to get it back. At that point, because there's Yish, you can go ahead and keep it. However, if you find an item which may have just fallen from the owner, and either it has a siman, and therefore the owner still hopes that maybe he'll get it back, or alternatively, if there's no siman, but perhaps the owner doesn't know that he lost it. So in those cases, since at the time that you found it, the owner had not yet given up hope, or it's at least a suffix whether he's given up hope or not, so in those cases, you will not be able to use the heter of Yish, and there will be a Chiyuv Hashava. Again, the Pratim of Yisuras Liyadeh will Mir Tashem get to next week. But I'd like to just jump a little bit to is that even though there's a halacha psuka, and it's clear that if you find an item after the owner gave up hope, there's no chiyuv hashava, there's no chiyuv to return it. However, the Gemara says, lifnim ashuras hadin, you should return it anyway. Al pi halacha, it's yours, you want to be mekadesh nisha with it, not a problem, you want to be yaitza lachem on sukkah, so you find an esrig, not a problem, al pi din, it's yours. But lifnim ashuras hadin, even though the owner gave up hope, still the halacha is, you should be meshavet. Now, there is if you look at the Gemara that talks about the Lefim Ashur Sadin, the Gemara has an interesting lashon. The Gemara has a story where one of the Amorim asked the other, what's that, if I find it, what's halacha? He says, you can keep it, there's a yish. What happens if the owner comes and gives a simon? So there, the halacha is, so he says, chayiv lahachzer. You're mechuyiv to give it back. The Gemara says, mechuyiv to give it back. What do you mean? We just said it's a yish, it's a steer. The Gemara says, Lefim Ashur Sadin. Now, the Medayik, the Lashon of Gemara, what was his answer? He asked, what do I do if someone comes and gives a simon? And his answer was, you're mechuyiv to give it back. We then, the Gemara asked the Stira, what happened to Yish? And the Gemara says, it means lifnei mishur hasadin. But Lamayis, the Lashon of the Amora was, chayiv lahachzer, you have to do it. So based on this, the Mordechai is Medayik, that when there's something as lifnei mishur hasadin, Bezdin has the right to be koyfe, to force a person to do lifnei mishur hasadin. And it's not just in this case. The Mordechai holds in any situation where there's halacha is one way, but lifnim mishuras adin says do something else, even though it's lifnim mishuras adin, Bezdin has the right to force you to do it. Zok the Mordechai, this depends on the people. If the person that found the item was an ani, and the person that lost the item was an usher, then he says there's no chiyuv to do lifnim mishuras adin. The person that finds it is a pauper, he needs the money desperately. Person that lost it is an usher. He won't miss it that much. So in such a case, lifnim mishuras hadin, you're not mechuyev to do so. But in the absence of that, if the person that found it is also an usher, or if both of them were aniyim, in a typical case, the Mordechai says you can be koyfe. We can force you to do lifnim mishuras hadin. Now this is a tremendous machlokes apoyskim in Siman Yud Beis. The Bach Taka learns like this Mordechai. The Shach also, by us sounds like, and they seem to say, Bezdin, he says, the minhag is batei din are koyfeh for lifnim mishur hasadin. Others argue, others say that, no, this is a lifnim mishur hasadin, it's called lifnim mishur hasadin, because it's lifnim mishur hasadin. A Bezdin does not have the right to force you, they can recommend it, they can tell you it's a nice thing, but more than that, they can't do. What the Pesach Tshuva in Siman Yud Beis, and this seems to be what Rav Peskim hold, is we can apply pressure, you can be koyfeh bidvaru. To go ahead and to be moitzi mamu to force you to do what you can't, because al pi din it's yours. But to be koyfe bedvarim, to apply pressure to say you're doing an avil, you're doing shloike din, there, according to the Pesach Tshuva, that we could do even by lifnim mishuras hadin, provided the person who we're trying to pressure is not an ani and the other person is not an usher. In that case, where the person who found it is an ani, the other person is an usher, the lekuli amo, you cannot apply any amount of pressure in order to encourage him or to push him to do the lifnim mishuras hadin.
The Gemara
within
Yishai Nidas also talks about different types of things. Let's say, for example, a wallet. The Gemara says that the person is mashish b'kisa kol shalom.
Correct.
We're 100%.
If it has edavar sheyesh by simon, by roiv yisrael, there's no yish. The sugi of yish le'midas is edavar she'ein by simon, where the moment, even if someone finds it, you have no way to prove that you're the owner, and therefore there's no way to recover it. So there you're miyayish right away. Or by Roiv Akum, where you're going to assume, you lose something with a simon in Manhattan, you're going to assume the person who picks it up is not going to return it to you. So that's the sug of Yesh Lamidas. In a case where it's you lose it in Muncie, Roiv Yisrael, and it has a simon, Chas V'Shalom. The person's going to assume the finder is going to be machrizit and is going to make every attempt to be Meshav Aveda. Okay, so we're in the middle of this topic of Yisuros L'Yadei, of Yesh, when you have the right to assume there's Yesh. What's the halacha? Under what circumstances do you say that if you pick it up before the yish, when it's turos the yadeh, when you do have a shavuot, when you don't, and that, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll get to next week.